very good morning to welcome into today's program. We're going to go to Headford. It's a big day for them down there. We're also going to go to Palestine today. And we've got a journalist joining us from there. Also, Women Who Dare. We're looking at a rowing challenge. We're looking at waste on today's program as well. And we're also looking at Galway Thoughts. We've got two guests joining us in studio. We'll be looking at a number of issues there. That and much more between now and 12 midday. Comment lines are open though if you want to get through to us on 091-770-077 and 086-38-33-553. A very good morning to you. And a very happy International Women's Day to everybody out there today, and a special day for all, a big day right across the board, but a special day. We'll be touching into it as the programme goes on as well. If you want to send comments into us, feel free to do so to those numbers as well, on 086 38 33 55 3. And all of the papers today have pieces on Saoirse Ruan and the impact that she had on people's lives. So we'll touch on that too as the programme progresses today. And we'll be looking at her life and the legacy she has left behind during Galway Thoughts as well, just after the 11 o'clock news. Councillor Andrew Reddington joins you on the line today. And he joins me on line. Andrew, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
A big day, so it is today when it comes to Headford.
Yesterday, Keith, yeah. Yesterday was the day... Minister Patrick O'Donovan launched the new 6 million OPW building in Headford, which involved the renovation and extension of the building into an aerated workplace. It's based in Headford, as you know, Keith, and it's the OPW's West Drainage Headquarter for Maintenance.
It's a huge investment, so it is, Andrew, into the area. A long time coming, though, as well.
Absolutely. I went around the building yesterday with the minister, and I described it as a really efficient building. You know, there's air source, heat pumps, solar panels. It was constructed by Finna Construction, and it accommodates 6 OPW flood risk management sections. There's over 60 staff implementing flood policy, and, you know, as you know yourself, they do essential works, you know, draining land and, I suppose, keeping flooding away from people. And the minister actually stressed that yesterday, how important the work that the OPW do. And he said, you know, something I would take from the day is that he said, you know, for those people that are against draining land and against drainage and those that are taking pictures and, you know, yourself of people working on the ground, he said, walk a mile in the shoes of the people in Roscommon and Fuinchner, or the people in Wexford, or the people in Ordinmore. But he came with a double dose of good news yesterday, because earlier in the morning we visited the machinery and equipment shed out the back, which is there for over 50 years, and he announced yesterday that this is going to now go into the to design stage for phase two of the works in Headford for a new machinery and equipment shed out the back. So the phase one is now complete. It's a fine building, Keith. I'd even bring you down and show it to you myself now. It's absolutely outstanding for the town, for, you know, to have 60 people working in there.
Where is it located, Andrew? Take me to the crossroads there at... as you come into Headford, do I turn right, left, or straight ahead?
Yeah, at the top of the town there, you turn right, and you go to the bottom of the square where, you know, where Malik Akidi's was one time, and Akidi's shop. Mm-hmm. And it's directly across the road from where Akidi's pub was. And the yard is there to the right of that as well. So there's an old shed there that the OPW have been operating from for years. And the minister announced yesterday that there's going to be a new fit-for-purpose shed there, machinery and equipment shed also. And this is going to the design stage, but he couldn't, I suppose, announce the amount of money that was allocated to it, because it's at early stages and they have to, I suppose, liaise with, you know, planning and etc., etc. So, you know, there was a great buzz around Headford yesterday. And I suppose, at a personal level, I was very impressed by the minister. He'd been in Headford about over a year ago, where he visited the Garda station with me, and he came up with 250,000 to upgrade the Garda station back there in Headford as well. So he stressed, I suppose, and a lot of people said this to me afterwards, you know, that there's people out there that are saying there's nothing happening in rural Ireland, there's no investment in rural Ireland. Like, we're a small town in Headford. We have an investment of 6 million got for the OPW building, an investment for the Garda station, and the minister announced another investment for a machinery and equipment shed. at the back of the OPW, and that's just in a small town like Headford. He was very impressed, I suppose, by the work that the OPW do, and very interested, especially in the work that they do on the ground. He seemed to be very hands-on, and it spoke of, I suppose, his own, you know, experiences of dealing with people that had flooding in their houses and flooding in their area, and how he'd love to have done so much for people, only for he was limited with the amount of, I suppose, environmental issues that are out there at the moment. But he spoke clearly about that, you know, that the OPW's work in relation to drainage, in relation to keeping water away from people's houses, was one of the most essential, you know, departments out there at the moment with the way things are going, I suppose, in relation to climate and flooding. And he also spoke
Councillor
about, you know,
Reddington, the 60 people that are working there, are they at a local level or are they at a national level?
Locally, I would say we were in there yesterday now, and, you know, I know a lot of the people that are working there locally, that live locally, and then there's people that come in, I suppose, from outside the area as well, that are working there as well. But as you know, Keith, Headford is close enough to Galway City, close enough to Mayo, close enough to Tuam. There's a motorway coming to Tuam, so Headford is easily accessible now, you know. And there's a bit more parking as well in the back of the OPW for the staff, and that should relieve, I suppose, some of the parking issues that we have downtown, because the square, in fairness to the staff, didn't know where to park, so they were using the square. So there's more parking in the OPW yard as well that came with the build, just with the build. So we'll have more parking at the bottom of the square as well, and that has gone down very well with the people in the area.
A good investment. He's a good minister, indeed, I have to say. We've had him on quite a few times in relation to
it. I have to say, to be honest with you, I know I'm part of his party, but the people that were there yesterday were extremely impressed by his knowledge, his you know, his hands-on approach. And, you know, as I said to you, he spoke about investment in Headford. He spoke about the Garda station. And earlier this year, he would have visited Ross Early with me and spoke to me about, you know, that it was one of the finest Franciscan monasteries in the country, and he had never heard of it, and it wasn't really on the OPW's radar. So we met yesterday morning in relation to that in the Angler's Rest, and he had stated that he's doing work in the background to get that recognised. I suppose that when people come into Ireland, they know that Ross Early is a place to visit, and that's just not on the map at the moment. So he's very interested in the rural areas, very interested in linking in with us on a weekly basis. But I will say, I've said it before, it's a great investment for Headford. I want to commend the OPW staff down there, working on the ground, working in offices, working in management, that have brought it to this stage. And, you know, any investment you get is very welcome.
Okay. I know that John did a piece on Ross Early, indeed, and the significance of it. So if people want to find out more about it, it's on the podcast, and they can get further details on galwaybfm.ie. Councillor Andrew Reddington, thank you for joining us today on the programme. Now, yet to come on the programme, we will be going to Orjawan, indeed, who's a Palestinian journalist who will be joining us later on and giving us a sense of what Palestine are going through currently, and the fact that they are really have their fingers and everything else crossed for a ceasefire there. So that's yet to come on the programme. Short commercial break, and we have a lovely piece coming up next. Stay tuned for that and more to come. And a very good morning to you. Now you can get your texts into us today if you want to on International Women's Day. And again, congratulations to all the people who've put a huge amount of work into it right across the country as well. 086 38 33 55 3. Before we go to the next piece, I got some photographs sent in to me today about potholes in the railway station in Athenry. Keith, can you please highlight the potholes going into Athenry train station? Nothing has been done there for 2 weeks, and it's so dangerous. And the first photograph, I actually thought it was something, a photograph that came from the moon, because it's so huge, the holes in it. And then the second one, I can see a building in the background. So I said to myself, well, that building is out in the moon now, so that must be Athenry. And the potholes in the station are just, they're huge. Can somebody in the council or somewhere, OPW, you wonderful people we spoke about down in Headford, can you get it up there and just fill in the potholes, please? As soon as possible. Now let's move on today, because Women Who Dare, celebrating indeed International Women's Day, was launched at Gather in Tuam on Tuesday night. And a huge amount of people were in Gather in Tuam on Tuesday night. And they gathered in Gather, pardon the pun, to get a copy of Women Who Dare, which was circulated with the Tuam Herald this week. Mary Ryan works in the Tuam Herald, and she put a huge amount of work into it. And it's a beautiful publication, I have to say. But she put a huge amount of work into this project. Mary is a native of Galway City, now based in Tuam. And I asked her in Gather Indeed on Tuesday night how this came about.
No, it didn't, Keith. I'm a blow-in to Tuam, came a few years ago. And I suddenly became aware of the amount of talent that's around Tuam and the environs, the towns around Hetford and Montbellew and Glenamaddy and so on. And by default, really, one day I thought about putting together a magazine called Women Who Dared, and they have been really successful. This is the fourth one. We hear it tonight, and we have profiled about 170, two or three women in the four magazines. We have a very strong herstory section, her story, but most of the women are very much alive and still active in their communities. They're mostly activists, singers, song artists, like your own Joan, who's in it. Beautiful article on Joan in the magazine. And it's a great read. And you know, the best thing about it is you can take it up, read a short story, almost, and then leave it down and come back to it again. So it's a very entertaining magazine, I think.
And you've done this all in collaboration with the Tuam Herald. And again, without that support, it wouldn't be possible to be where you are.
Absolutely, because they're the people who actually... I work in the Tuam Herald, so they distribute the magazine. We do have to do 100% of the fundraising. So IBIC has been very good to us, but this is the last year they're finished, so we're looking for a pillar sponsor for next year. IBEC usually sponsor people for 3 years in a row only, yeah. And they've done us 4 years, so we're very honoured. But this year we also asked the local people to take out ads in the magazine, and they have been absolutely amazing. Everybody put their hands into their pockets and put an ad in our magazine, everybody who was asked, practically.
And where did the initial concept all those years ago come from? Because it took a thought process to do what you've done.
I was a teacher in a previous incarnation in Castleknock, and for International Women's Day every year, I used to find examples of women who had done extraordinary things. And I came across the phrase, I don't think I invented the phrase, Women Who Dared. Probably came across it somewhere, and every year I would put up a group of Women Who Dared. And then when I came down here and saw all the activists and wonderful artists and writers and so on, I just thought, okay, let's call the magazine Women Who Dared, and it's sort of made it into the local community now.
And again, tonight, such an eclectic mix of people. Margaret Darcy from Galway City is there, and many others who have come. I mean, a massive crowd are following you with this.
Yeah, it's really quite wonderful. As you say, eclectic is the word to use, because people come from so many different backgrounds and they're doing so many different things. We have here tonight people from Ukraine. We have people from Poland. We have people from Africa, all part of the community here now. We have people listening to us who couldn't be here tonight. We have somebody listening to us in Bahrain. We have somebody listening to us in America. We have somebody listening to us in France, a few people. So, yeah. And you know something, in my little talk tonight, I forgot to welcome them. Isn't that terrible?
And so they can pick up this week's edition of the Tuam Herald. And after that, can they buy it separately?
They can buy it in the Tuam Herald for €5. But the thing to do is to get it, because you get it free with the Tuam Herald. And also to an added attraction, if you like, in buying the Tuam Herald is that Leo Moran of the Sour Doctors has written the omnibus. So there are two very good reasons to buy the Tuam Herald. But if you don't manage to get it, Women Who Dared is available for the foreseeable future in the office for €5. You can phone us up, 093-24183, or email us at classifieds@tuamherald.ie, and we'll send you one.
It really is a collector's item.
Thanks, Keith. I kind of feel that myself, but I guess, wouldn't I say that? It sort of is. It's like, they're never going to go out of date. And these women's stories have been recorded forever now. Mm. And you can pick them up in 10 years' time, and you're still, yeah.
I mean, the likes of Sister Agnes, I was sitting with her outside during the launch there. But I mean, so to be honoured, you know, she's done so much work.
Oh, she's incredible. And she was in one of the first Women Who Dared. Mm. And she's mentioned in this year's again in the introduction, in the forward, because she was Person of the Year, nominated Person of the Year last year. Mm-hmm. You were the person who presented that, do you remember the awards? Yeah. So Agnes was one of them. And she's just a great Gore all the time. She's involved in everything. So it's lovely to have her here. It's a great honour for us.
And you have many others. I mean, Leo Morin is here. And
Leo Morin. Yeah. And Bridge Dooley, who was in the original Saw Doctors, or not one of them anyway. And they're going to give us a song later on. The two of them, I think they haven't sung together for years. And, you know, the good thing about Leo, he's a local celebrity, but you can actually send him a text and say, you want to drop in for a little sing song, and he comes. Yeah. He's amazing. Yeah.
And what made you pick Gather for this? Because when you think about it, the gathering of like-minded people in Gather, in Toom, supporting local economy, what made you pick here?
Well, you know, the thing is, actually, to be 100% honest, the other two launches, because the first year it came out, there was COVID, and then the second and third year, we had it in the Abbey, and it's being renovated at the moment, and I was looking for another venue, and then I thought of, I was in Gather one day, and I thought, Siobhan, would you take Gather? Would you take the launch? And she said she'd be delighted. So it's worked very well, hasn't it? It's very pleasant here.
But it's showcased Gather as well.
Yeah, it is. And Gather is a wonderful place. It's one of our top restaurants in Toom. People travel from Galway to eat in Gather. And of course, there's a shop beside it. There, you know, the shop and the restaurant. And the shop is Abert, called after our river here, the Abert River. And you have the most beautiful gifts here. Lovely pure wool rugs and baby blankets and paintings, books, notebooks. You have it. And food, delicious food that they sell as well.
You should be in advertising.
Thanks, Keith. Thank you.
Congratulations again on Women Who Dared. And again, just in case they didn't pick up the Toom Herald during the week, they can pop in 093-24183 and they can, or else just pop in and buy it.
Exactly. And we'd be delighted to send it to them. Thanks very much, Keith.
A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Well, two organisations, one based in Chicago and one based in Galway, are coming together to join us today. Nuala Cabinet joins me from the Sister Cities Committee in Chicago, and she's involved in recovery on water. And Robin Winkles joins me here in Galway as well, and she has an organisation called Road to Recovery. And Nuala, you've come up with an idea on this one to bring both parties together, and good morning to both of you.
Yes, good morning, Keith. Yes, and I know we spoke with you probably about a year ago, last summer actually. So there are two similar organisations, one in Galway, one in Chicago, and both are rowing organisations, and they are for people who have been diagnosed with cancer, and they are now recovering from cancer, have dealt with cancer in some stage, and now they're actually rowing together. And I came across both organizations, and because I'm involved with Chicago Sister Cities, I thought, oh my gosh, what better organizations to get together? Let's get everybody getting to know each other. Let's learn about kind of cancer and how we are diagnosed with cancer from each other, how we've recovered from cancer, the treatments, and now how we're moving on with the journeys past the cancer diagnosis, and how we're making friendships and using sport as a recovery tool also from in recovering from cancer. So I reached out to Robin in Galway, who is the director of Road to Recovery. And then I reached out to the director over here, who is Tara Hoffman, who is the executive director of Recovery on Water. And both organizations have been talking together probably for the past year. And we've set some goals so that we're going to be bringing somebody from Chicago over to Galway to meet the crew over there. We're going to have somebody from, Robin has already come over to Chicago, and we've met, the three of us have had some chats and discussions about how we're moving forward. And we're going to hopefully, our end goal is to actually host a regatta in Chicago and have the Galway crew come over to that regatta. That's going to happen in 2027. But we're going to do, along the way, we're going to also do some learning workshops on breast cancer, get the Galway Foundation involved over there, and just have a lot of fun along the way while we're learning from each other and getting to know each other and also create new friendships.
And Robin, can I ask you, what was it like when you got a call on the door? The knock on the door came from Nuala Cavna, who's a Galway native indeed, living in the Chicago area. And what was it like to get that call?
Well, if you know Nuala, you know she's a whirlwind, so I don't think I've been the same since. She's been a great advocate for getting Row Chicago and Row to Recovery in Galway together and get us kind of, you know, all pulling in the same direction to see what's possible when the two groups start to work together. And like she said, learn from each other. Because cancer diagnosis and treatment isn't handled the same way in Ireland as it is in the States. And so we are learning from each other how we do things differently and how we're recovering, although the same, a bit differently as well.
And can I ask you, when was Road to Recovery founded in Ireland, in Galway?
We are celebrating our 10-year mark in October this year.
And again, it's like-minded people, like Nuala outlined to us, they're like-minded people who've been on a journey, and this is nearly therapy. This is escapism to get onto the water and be together.
That's exactly what it is. So it's not only a physical therapy, you know, getting back on regular exercise and seeing what your body can do post-diagnosis, post-treatment, but it's also so good mentally and emotionally that, you know, for the time that you're on the water, you're with friends and you're moving on.
And Nuala, when you say 27, I mean, will there be a reciprocal regatta then from Chicago coming to Galway, hopefully, before 2030?
Yeah, we're actually hoping to bring over some people from Chicago even before 2027. So, and that's one of the reasons that we're actually on today, Keith, is that we have kind of set smaller goals for along the journey, and that's not going to be the finish of it. This to me is going to be a permanent journey, and this is a lifelong relationship. Robin is doing a phenomenal job with the organization in Galway. It's a growing organization. Anybody who's listening, if anybody wants to get involved with the organization and help Robin, she could do with some help over there. So whoever is listening and feels that they would like to get involved, please reach out to Robin, because she's doing a phenomenal job, but she's definitely pulled in all directions, so she could do with some help. Anyway, going back to probably the main reason that we're on today, Keith, is because in order to move along on this journey, we do need to do some fundraising. And the organization here in Chicago is a much larger organization than the organization in Galway. They are called Recovery on Water, and they hold an annual fundraiser. Now, they're not asking us per se to raise funds this year, but they hold an annual fundraiser, which is a virtual row. Mm-hmm. And it's called St. Patrick's Day Sprint. And it's a virtual row that they hold online from Chicago to Galway. And that journey is kind of like a rowing journey of 6.5 million meters. But it takes place online from March the 10th through the 16th. And anybody who takes part in any kind of activity, whether it's walking, running, riding a bike, swimming, dancing, they can go online and log their activity in form of meters. And every year that they've gone on and done this virtual row across the Atlantic, they've never succeeded in reaching the 6.5 million meters. Mm. However, we feel if we get people from Galway involved to go online and log their activities anytime from March 10th to the 16th, that we could help them for the first time ever to achieve this goal.
So where do they go to then, Nuala? What's the best website for them to go to?
So I actually have the link at the website. The link is a fairly long one, Keith, so I'm hoping to put it on Galway Bay FM, that you could maybe share the link. And if they go to Sister Cities, chicagosistercities.com, I'll put the link up there also. But are you able to put that link up for us, Keith?
I certainly can. Once you send it to me, I'll send it upstairs and we can get that done from there. But if they go on to chicagosistercities.com, they can get further detail. Is the link there for them then as well?
Yeah, and I actually emailed it to you first thing this morning.
Perfect. So what they need to do then is basically go on to the our website, galwaybfm.ie, and get further details from there. And you'd like that to be achieved. So, Robin, I hope you don't feel that you have to be 24/7 doing something between the 10th and the 16th, but we're looking at you on this one now to make sure that you indulge yourself and you put a couple of million meters on the counter.
Well, like anything, Keith, you can't do it alone. So we've actually, Road to Recovery has reached out to all of the rowing clubs in Galway, and we've had great buy-in from them. So Galway Rowing Club, Cláiste na Cuirbe, the Bish Rowing Club, St. Joseph's, and the Jazz Rowing Club, Cláiste Ag Naois, have all agreed to donate whatever kilometers or meters that they row from the 10th to the 16th of March to get the two crews across the Atlantic. And not only that, Tribesmen Rowing Club is holding their annual Head of the River on the 16th of March. Mm-hmm. And they've agreed to donate all of the cruise meters from that day. So even from that day, we should get about 1 million meters contributed towards this journey. So the rowing clubs mm-hmm. in Galway have been great supporters of ours for the last 10 years, and they're continuing to show up for us.
So Nuala, you could get the figures yes. you're looking for.
We could, we could. And you know what, Keith? I mean, Robin has done a fantastic job, and she has so many connections in the rowing world in Galway, which is fabulous. But also, if we can get out, like, to the Galway Harriers, I'm going to email them the link. So any of you runners who are listening today, any of you cyclists who are listening today, even if you, you know, if you can, I'll put the post, the link on any Facebook group I come across in Galway, just to get anybody from Galway who can log their meters from March the 10th to the 16th. Let's show Chicago. The Galwegians are great at getting together. This is not costing anything. All we want you to do is log your activity for the week, March 10th to the 16th. Let's show Chicago we can do this, and we can get them to row across the Atlantic to get into Galway Bay.
All right, we'll check in with you just after St. Patrick's weekend, indeed the bank holiday weekend. But Nuala Kavanagh, thank you for joining us. And Robin Winkle, perfect. Thank you for joining us as well today. And again, if you go to our website or you go to the Chicago Sister Cities website, you'll get further details on that as well. Thank you both for joining us today on the programme.
Thanks so much, Keith.
Thank you, Keith.
And thanks for getting up so early and joining us this morning as well. Now, let me move on today, because I've a great interest in waste and what happens to waste. But I want to go to the Regional Waste Management Planning Office. They've launched a national plan to stop waste growth over the next 6 years. Kevin Swift, indeed, who we knew from his time in Galway City Council, indeed, is the Regional Waste Coordinator for Connacht and Ulster. And he joins me on the line today. Kevin, morning to you.
Morning, Keith. How are you?
Great to talk to you again. It's a kind of a blast from the past altogether.
Indeed.
We're looking at the National Waste Management Plan for Circular Economy, which was launched on the 1st of March 2024, and it has to be implemented mm-hmm. by local governments. But surely, Kevin, this should begin at the source of the waste that we're buying and collecting on a daily basis.
True. But first things first, the local government sector is responsible for planning for waste in Ireland. And this is a first, given that the local government sector has jointly made a plan for the country. Previously and historically, each county council would have made its own plan, or the city mm-hmm. council for that matter. Then we went to a regional plan, but now we've made a national plan for the whole country.
And the national plan
sets out a whole range of targets.
Yeah, give me an example of what's in that plan then.
Well, the overall ambition of the plan is to achieve 0% growth in waste per person over the lifetime of the plan, which is over the next 6 years. And that's a big ambition. But what it really aims to do is put a lid on the amount of waste that we all produce. Now, how do we do that? Well, we just prevent waste production, number one, and we get more circular in the things that we do, number two. So we keep materials in use for longer, we recycle more materials, we reuse more materials. So it's all about being a little bit more sustainable.
It's kind of ironic that we're talking about this, and as I look out the window, the Barna waste trucks are bringing bales of recycled material to the docks for export out of Ireland. But again, it comes back to my opening statement with you, Kevin Swift, in relation to the fact that you go to the supermarket and you want to pick up some tomatoes. They're in a cardboard box and they're in a plastic bag, and then the shop gives you a plastic bag to bring them home. So we're creating that waste. If we could buy organically the other way and bring our own bag with us, surely we're helping that circular economy you're talking about.
Absolutely. And one of the things that came through in the consultation around the development of this plan was the frustration that people have with the amount of packaging that's been put on the market. But we're pretty good at recycling and capturing the packaging that is put on the market. And there are increasingly kind of refill options emerging in supermarkets and alternative options for, you know, loose fruit and veg and stuff like that. And of course, we have a huge target to halve the amount of food waste that we make in Ireland every year by 2030. So a lot of pressure coming on in those areas. And I think we will see further developments in the options for people around that.
And can I ask you,
Again, it might be an awful stupid question, and I make a career out of asking some stupid questions.
Go for it.
This whole new recycling regime that's been put in at huge cost to shops and otherwise, and so I did. I went to the one in Moycullen, and I brought the stuff with me. It's very convoluted. But why do we have a recycling bin at home if we have to bring them back to get the 10 cent or 12 cent back on the bottle?
One of the huge challenges that we have in particular is in relation to the recycling of plastic. So our recycling rate in Ireland is stuck at about 41%, and we need to get up to 55%. That's the European target. Now, in order to get to that, one of the target areas is plastic, because we're underperforming on plastic. And notwithstanding the fact that people and households do great work in terms of the amount of waste that they produce and present in their recycling bin, the deposit return scheme, which is the scheme that you're referring to, is a scheme that has been proven in other countries. In actual fact, it's been proven in over 40 jurisdictions as being the way to get the recycling rate up to that level. And more importantly, because the material is collected in a more segregated fashion, then it's coming to the producers cleaner, drier, looser, all of those things that makes it possible to consider remaking that back into bottles again. So again, getting back to that notion of circularity.
Yeah, but I mean, the situation is, why then do we have a recycling bin if we have to go and, like, I went to the one of my colleagues and I brought, there was zero Coke cans that had been consumed by somebody in the house, and I brought them up, and there was water bottles, and I brought those up as well. The water bottles were accepted because there was a barcode, and the zero Coke cans were not accepted because there was no barcode. So it went in, went halfway in, then chucked it back out to me again, brought it out. It's frustrating. Why just don't they take everything?
What I would say to you and what I would say to listeners is bear with it. The scheme has just really been launched. It's in a transition stage. It will bed in. The scheme targets plastics and it targets aluminium cans. The recycling bin that we all have, thankfully in Galway City in particular, targets a much wider range of recyclates other than plastics and aluminium cans. And as I said earlier the DRS scheme is all about targeting plastics. And we've all seen the programmes on TV about how offensive plastics are in our oceans and in our rivers, et cetera, across the world. So really, that's the purpose of that scheme.
Yeah. And again, reducing waste, though, I mean, this has to be done collectively by families and otherwise. I mean, food waste is one thing. Where possible, buy what you're going to need rather than filling the fridge and then dumping half the fridge. But again, to reduce the waste, how does one go about that?
So we need to be smarter. We need to be smarter in the way that we consume generally. I mean, if you look at our press release, what it demonstrates is that we consume an awful lot more in Ireland than our European partners. In actual fact, we consume about 664 kilos per person per annum in Ireland compared to the European average of just over 500. So that's a big difference. So we need to maybe look at our consumption patterns. We need to shop smarter. We need to maybe look at the other areas in our life where we consume goods, not just in relation to food and packaging, but maybe textiles is a big area that we're going to be focusing on in the context of this plan. We consume an awful lot of textiles, and we're all trapped in that kind of fast fashion cycle. Maybe not you so much now anymore, but certainly younger people are.
No, I see what you, when you say that whole cycle, you're talking about going in, buying something for 3 or 4 euro or 5 euro, and then wearing it once and then just throwing it out or disposing of it.
We've become a very throwaway society, and I mean, I'm not going to say that you're ancient, Keith, but you're old enough to remember when we weren't such a throwaway society. And people like to hark back to the days when we didn't throw away as much. And, you know, in order to sustain ourselves on this little planet that we live on, we need to get more sustainable and we need to be less throwaway. That's for sure.
Absolutely. But I mean, the amount of money that's been spent on throwaway stuff is just quite amazing.
It is, and the amount of consumption that we continue to do as a society is large. And, you know, part of this plan speaks to the whole prevention model, but you'll remember the 3 R's, reduce, reuse and recycle. That's but there's right. also an additional R, which is refuse in the first place. So when you're considering maybe acquiring something, you're considering a purchase, maybe, you know, think twice about whether you need it or not or whether you just want it.
Somebody said the milk cartons, they're just texting, Keith, please try and get me an answer. The milk cartons have plastic in them. What do we do with them?
Well, milk cartons are what we call Tetra Paks, and they are ultimately recyclable, even though they're a composite material, plastic coated. There is a standard methodology for recycling milk cartons, and that's why they're a very sustainable way of delivering a milk product.
So what do you do? Put them into the recycling bin then? That's dry?
Yes.
Wash them
yes,
out dry absolutely. And then put them into the recycling bin from there?
Well, our mantra about the recycling bin is clean, dry and loose. That makes it possible for the materials that you put in your recycling bin of having a circular future.
Go back on that again. Clean, dry and loose. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good...
So, don't be whacking a whole load of stuff into a bag and then putting that into the bin, because when it gets to the recycling centre, that makes it difficult for the processing machines to distinguish between the individual little pieces of recycling. So our mantra is put it in clean, if you can, as clean as possible, put it in loose, so not bagged up with other items, and put it in dry where possible as well.
Newspapers, somebody wants to say, is that recycling as well? Yes, they are.
Yeah, absolutely, and they always have been. Newspapers, magazines, I mean, you know, it's not very high quality material, but it does go back to paper pulp mills and it does get recycled back into paper again. Obviously, the key ones that we know are the PET bottles, the milk container plastic bottles, the cardboard, the paper, aluminium cans, tin cans, all of those things that we're familiar with and that we've been recycling for years are still very recyclable. And Galway has been very good at that. As you know, Galway was one of the first places to introduce the three-way segregated system, and it's well bedded in Galway over the years. But this plan will target maybe situations where it's not as bedded in. So it may be in apartment situations or multi-occupancy sort of dwellings. So we will be targeting those areas under this plan to make sure that everybody's doing their best to segregate.
Kevin Swift, Regional Waste Coordinator for Connacht Ulster, thank you indeed for the conversation. And again, if it just focuses on mind, yeah, go on.
Sorry, can I just take a quick opportunity to wish you well in your retirement? I did hear on the grapevine that you're heading off to new projects. So the best of luck with that. And it's always been a pleasure to talk to you over the years.
Thank you indeed for that, Kevin. And again, further details can be out. Website is, what's the best website to go to, Kevin?
Mywaste.ie is our national platform for all things waste.
Mywaste.ie. Thank you indeed for joining us today on the programme. Now, comment lines open if you want to get through to us. 086 38 33 553 if you want to get in contact.